Blog Talk Radio. Geek Radio, and it's really not the commercial I wanted to play, and Deb is at the controls, but it is what it is. So it is Wednesday night. This is Deb Evans calling in from Houston, and my co-host AK Stout cannot be with us tonight, so I will be here alone with my very special guest, Shelley Roth. And let me tell you a little bit about Shelley before I let her out of that green room, because I'm excited to have her back on the show again. She was with us probably about a year ago. She is a recovering sales shark. Shelley has learned how to get out of that eat what you kill mode and to the give to grow philosophy of winning. And I love that phrase, give to grow. And I heard Shelley talking about it earlier today. She is here in Houston. She's a social media trainer, a speaker, a consultant, and of course an author. And she has over 25 years, and you would never know this because she looks so young, over 25 years of successful business development, sales, and educational leadership skills. So Shelley, welcome back to Social Geek Radio.
Deb, I love Social Geek Radio. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you.
Oh, it's so fun to have you again. And I'm trying to remember, it was probably a year ago, and AK had invited you to be on the show, but I don't think I could be on that night when you were our guest, but I listened to it. And then as I was listening, I hear you tell AK that you're in Houston. It's like, really? Really? You're right here in Houston? You're in my neighborhood. And then we did get to meet in person.
Yeah, when AK was in town, weirdly enough as well.
And so with that time that AK came to Houston to visit, that was the first time I had met her in person, and we had been co-hosting the show for several months. So I met her that weekend, and then you came over to the conference center, and I got to meet you in person. So it's like I just totally love this whole social world that we live in.
Isn't it crazy? I mean, part of me wants to just go buy an Airstream and put my company name on the side and travel the U.S. and meet everybody that I've met online.
You know what? I think we could do that. It's funny because my husband and I have been talking about buying an Airstream and doing some traveling. So it could be the Springboard Work Social Geek Radio streaming show, whatever. I mean, we could do the show live anywhere.
That's true. I mean, yeah, and I don't know. I just think it'd be so much fun. There's so many people I would love to meet that I network with online, and I've never met them, and it would just be cool to go to their towns with the Airstream.
Well, and AK teases me because she keeps saying I need to start a new blog calling the IRL, because I keep saying, I met someone else in IRL. And I take a picture, and then I post it somewhere and say, look, this is the person I've talked to for 3 years, and now I, you know, get to shake their hand.
All right, what is IRL?
In real life.
Oh, look at you in your texting mode. You can tell I don't know. In real life, how cool. All geeky on me here.
No, it's just, it's my kids think I'm just totally strange. It's like, really, Mom? It's like, whenever we travel, okay, let me think of who I know in that area. Like, I don't know everybody, but I know so many people in the social world. So anyway, but before we actually get into the whole book and the reason why we wanted to have you on the show tonight, why don't you tell the audience a little bit more about you and Springboard Works and what it is that you do?
Okay. I started at the very beginning, and I'll try and make it short because this is in the book, but I basically started off in education. I was a teacher, guidance counselor, principal, tired of being poor, left Pennsylvania, came to Houston back in 1981, School of Hard Knock Sales, did all kinds of weird selling, but learned how to sell and be a really good sales shark, and ended up working for Fortune 500 software companies, making a lot of money and doing very well, seeing the world. But in 1999, I decided to bail out of corporate America, started my own business, wanted to bring spirituality to corporate, if you can believe that. I know, that was like a, you know, what?
That's yeah, what Shelley, what are you thinking?
Yeah, but what I learned was it's not bringing anything anywhere. It's just being spirit and being that person that you want to be. And so anyway, I still had another 6 years of working with, as an angel investor, working with technology startups for 6 years when I first launched in 99. And then 5 years ago, 6 years ago now, I decided I wanted to create curriculum around social media and get back to my roots. I love business. I'm addicted to any kind of business, and I love training and helping people, and I love teaching. So here I am today, 6 years later. I've been doing training, speaking, and consulting, and authoring books on social media.
And education. See, I knew I liked you for some reason. I love that whole education world and teachers and curriculum, and it's just there's something about that.
Yeah. It was very, very gratifying, but my dad was in sales, and I'm watching him see the world, and I'm like, wait a minute, how do I do that? So I bailed out, and I got into sales and saw the world, basically. I won all kinds of Quota Club trips. And
ooh.
Yeah, it was very cool. I got to definitely see all kinds of cool things.
Well, so it's Springboards. When did you say you actually started Springboard?
Springboard Ventures Incorporated, 1999.
Wow.
Back right in the dot-com days when I was, unfortunately, my timing was not right. And, all my life I'm like, well, I just don't have good timing. Social media, I hit it out of the park because, in 2007, things were just rocking and rolling. But 99, I just got in the dot-com bus right at the absolute apex and rode it all the way down. But it was I wouldn't trade it for anything. It was like an MBA in business.
Yeah. And yeah, the School of Hard Knocks is just you definitely learn. Might be tough, but you do get something out of it. So your last book that you published was a bestseller. Didn't you reach number 6? Under marketing?
Yeah, we got number 6 on Amazon under sales and marketing.
Mm-hmm. And that was called Get Real People?
Get Real People, How to Use Social Media for Real Relationship Marketing.
I like that.
Yeah, it was all, how we are on social media. We have to be authentic and real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the whole social media, those buzzwords, authentic, transparency, there's so many of them, but they're still very true.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of them are overused, but it you know what it is for me, and it's sometimes hard to explain. I was on a radio show earlier today trying to explain, what is this new selling versus the old sales shark, and why did I write this book, and it's kind of like when you just come from a place that you're not thinking everything out. You're just totally coming from a place of doing the right thing, which is that authenticity I kind of think about. When you start thinking about it and how am I going to position and how am I going to posture, I just don't believe that's the real you. So I guess we'll have a big debate on that.
No. And I heard you talking about that earlier today. But, yeah, selling today is very different than it was years ago. Or even, don't you think even selling today is different than it was just a year ago?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, like, amazing to me how social media is transforming people's attitudes and how, it really is about giving to grow. And it's so beautiful to me because when I was in that mindset, it just didn't work in traditional selling. If you were giving to get, you were doing well. So leaping into give to grow is a whole leap of faith.
Explain a little bit more about your give to grow philosophy. I mean, give us some definitions of what you mean by that.
Well, the old Shelley and most sales sharks come from a place of, if I give you something, I expect something in return.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to take my time helping you and show you my product and services, I expect you to buy something from me. The give to grow philosophy is basically the law of abundant exchange. It's a universal law and a universal principle that there's enough for everybody out there, and what you give will come back without you having to concern yourself with getting it back. It's whether, you know, what goes around comes around, mm-hmm. some of the old expressions. It's the same thing, but it's truly about, especially in social media, about sharing. So, for example, I do a weekly video newsletter, and I send out a social media tip every Friday.
Mm-hmm.
A little 2-minute, 3-minute tip. And I've had people say to me, why do you give that away? That's valuable. You should be charging for that. And I totally don't agree. I want to do it. It's my give to grow. It's part of what I give, and I don't expect anything back. But I've watched my business double every year for the last 3 years, living that philosophy.
Yeah. No, and I love your video tips. I mean, they're fun, they're short, they're sweet, they're engaging. You've got a really good presence, and you certainly have an awesome understanding of social media. And I agree with you. You know, you have to give to receive, but I can see where a lot of folks still aren't on board with that. As you say, you know, why do you give that away? Why aren't you charging for it? It's like, well, the more you give, the more you get in return.
That's exactly right. And it took me so long to understand that. Or I should say it took me so long to live that because I was scared. I was coming from scarcity. I mean, mm-hmm. what's going on right now with copyright and everybody talking on Facebook about copyright and copying that statement that you've seen flying around, like, this is mine and if you take it. And,
right.
Like, are you kidding me? I mean, there's a perfect example of coming from scarcity instead of abundance.
Right.
So. Mm-hmm.
Good. So out of your experiences of a writer, now 2 books, and you know what, before we go any further, you had some really exciting news just as we were getting ready to go live. Can you share it with everybody?
Yeah, absolutely. The book just hit number 3 on Amazon in the sales and marketing section, which is like, wow, I'm so excited. I hurried up and did a screen capture.
Number 3, and it actually went live on sale when?
It went live on sale, I think, November 9th, but no one knew about it. I don't think I had one sale up until today because I kind of kept it under wraps and used today
mm-hmm.
to launch it.
Today was your launch day, so yep. Not bad. Pretty darn
not
good.
Bad.
Number 3 on
pretty
launch.
Pretty excited. We'll see how long it stays there.
Well, I have a feeling it'll just keep climbing. So so back to what I was going to ask you, and I was so wrapped up in the exciting news of being number 3. What surprised you coming out of your experiences of writing 2 books now?
Probably the biggest thing is now when I do speaking engagements or training engagements, it amazes me how people look at you differently. Like, you immediately have more authority, you have more creed with people. And I was the same person one day to the next, but it's interesting. I probably couldn't have handled that being younger and coming from my ego, but now it doesn't matter to me. But it's interesting how people are, I don't want to say intimidated, it's not the right word, but what's a good word? You know what I'm saying?
Well, so what you're saying is that because you're an author, not of just 1 book, of 2 books, you pretty much validate your own credibility of, is that it?
Yeah, that's the way to say it. But even, you know, when I do these training classes and speaking engagements, just people think more, regard you as more highly. Because you authored 2 books, you immediately
mm-hmm.
have you. The books could be totally wrong, and you know anybody can sit down and write a book. But just because you have a book, people's perception of you is you know what you're doing. You know we're going to hire you, or it just
mm-hmm.
gives a lot of credibility out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess you know in others' defense. I can see that. I mean, it's that that resume builder, you know, that portfolio that says you are accomplished.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. I think it's fantastic. But the great news is my ego is out of the way. So you know what I'm saying? It's not like it's going to my head or anything.
I remember you talking about that before. And I don't know if it's on one of your videos or something, an interview that you've done. But you've mentioned your ego or the ego that you really do had to put it aside.
Yeah, I got to try and keep it in a box. I mean, ego's good for us, but I like to keep mine aside because that's when I get in trouble. When I start thinking is when I get in trouble. When I'm doing presentations, that's actually in the book. It's one of the lessons. It's when little Shelley, if you will, gets out of the way and I allow a higher source to help me in my training classes, because I'll be in front of 100 people or 50 people. And when I start thinking about, I mean, I'm prepared, don't get me wrong,
mm-hmm.
incredibly prepared.
Right.
But when I just let go and let a force be with me and travel through me and just be present and don't think and try and control is when I do my best work.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, you're just yourself. Very good. So we talk about, and in your book, you're talking about a sales shark. So what is your definition of a sales shark?
You know, I was going to have my book so I could read it to you. But I'll go off the top. I do have it here. But, you know, it's more than just anybody that was in sales. What I mean by sales shark is really anybody that was in a job or a corporate setting where creative thinking and feeling with the heart were really frowned upon. So you didn't necessarily have to be in sales. It's anywhere where you're not being who you truly were born to be, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that, for me, corporate America was very much like that. They didn't want you feeling or thinking with your heart. Or I was told once, Deb, that we don't pay you to think, which was like amazing to me.
They don't pay you to think.
I was told by a supervisor, a manager,
mm-hmm.
not pay you to think. And I was like, okay, I think our ways are going to be parting.
Right. Yeah, no, I could see that. It's, you know, do your job, follow the letter of the law, 1, 2, 3, 4. That's awful.
Mm-hmm. But that's okay because it's what made me finally leave the corporate nest and the comfort of the paycheck
mm-hmm.
and all that stuff. So it's all good. All good.
Yeah, and it's true. Everything happens for a reason, and things do work out. So tell us your own personal account of your career path and that journey. I mean, you've covered some of it, you know, why you left corporate America and you started the book. But is there something more? I mean, you found social media to be your niche and you started your business. But what really prompted you to put it in paper? Because I don't think you knew at the time that if you write a book, it'll give you more credibility to what your business.
Right, exactly. I didn't do it for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've always wanted to write a book. I've always had one in me. And I think what really got me on the path to creating it and making it happen were these two amazing coaches that I have who also happen to be the editors of my first book and my second book. And the name of their business is Energy Arts Alliance, and they're energy coaches. And I know that might sound odd, but frankly, we're all energy. Everything's energy. And they were instrumental in guiding me through the process of putting forth this book. But the impetus for the book really was my reason for being on the earth. And it took me a while, as most of us sometimes don't even know why we're here. And I was blessed enough to realize my mission on the earth is to be real. That's who I am. That's who I've always been. I always thought it was a bad thing to be that. And yet in social media, I was rewarded for it.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of a long way around your question, but that's what really the first book, Get Real People, started me on that path of I'm going to share that being real is really okay, being your true self, especially with social media.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it goes back to, like I said, those buzzwords about transparency and being authentic and just letting people really see who you are. And what you do,
Exactly. And so I think my third book is going to be a total departure. I've already, it's kind of like once your book is born, have you ever written a book?
Yes, I co-authored with somebody, but it's more of a how-to guide on franchising. So different than what you've put together.
Yeah, you know how you want to like get it done. It's kind of like, at least for me, I'm a pure entrepreneur. It's like, okay, what's next? You know,
yeah.
Like AK is probably AK amazes me because she is always in it doing something new. She is so amazing to me that she can have so many plates spinning at one time.
And I've never heard her referred to that, but that absolutely she does. She juggles and keeps on track. It's just. I sit back to and I'm just in awe. Like, she could do the show and she could be tweeting and she could be looking up her Geek It Out. It's like my brain would hurt. I would explode if I tried. And I fall apart. You know, I can't do that many things. I'm a multitasker, but not like that.
No, not like her. She's a Mensa. I'm sure she's a Mensa, I've decided.
And she's so focused. I mean, she doesn't, yeah. So she'll hear that we were talking about her tonight, even though she's not here. So let's go over a couple of your chapters in your book. And, of course, your lessons. Lesson one is Give to Grow. We were talking about that a little bit. You have any more you'd like to share on that?
No, I think we kind of share that. I mean, it's something you have to practice. It certainly doesn't come easily, especially to a sales shark. My editors wanted me to say recovered sales shark, and I will never be recovered. I will always be recovering because what always creeps into my consciousness is give to get. If I'm going to give you this, I want something back. Mm-hmm. So I guess I just sum it up with it really is something that you have to practice, and you have to not think about getting back. And give to grow is just a wonderful way of being, just knowing that there's plenty for everybody out there, the law of abundant exchange. The more you put out and the more you give, the more you'll get back. And it doesn't necessarily have to be financial. That's another there's so many other ways to measure success that most people never talk about. It's always about money. But it's not. I mean, it can be about so many different things. Success can be measured in so many different ways.
Well, and the whole giving, let me mention this. AK and I have been supporting and promoting Charity Miles, which is an app for your smartphone. And for every mile you walk, the Charity Miles app calculates this, and then they give to a charity of your choice. So I think now there's 11 or 12 charities. And that whole giving to grow and make you a better person, every day when I walk, and if I'm walking for cancer, if I'm walking for Parkinson, if I'm walking for Feeding America, I have this sense of accomplishment and self-worth that I've done something for somebody else. And I think it's so sad that there's so many people who, as you said earlier, when they ask you about your videos, why are you doing that and you're not getting paid for it? There's more to giving than just those dollar signs.
Exactly. To me, we're talking about business, but I mean, look what you're talking about. Charity, if you took it to the next level, and my energy advisors would tell you this, there's so much, good that you can do in the world. We're all interconnected in some way or another, and just by doing what you're doing with your Charity Miles, that's just fantastic. Mm-hmm. That's just taking it to a whole nother level as well.
Yeah, I love that app. So I have to always throw it in there. It's like anybody,
if you have
anybody,
to put it on your phone. Is there like a what's it called? A pedometer?
It runs by the GPS. It doesn't work on a pedometer. So you actually do have to go out and walk. It's an app. So it's just charitymiles.org, and you download it to your smartphone. And I love it that it's Android or iPhone. And many, many people will not leave. I do not breathe unless I've got my phone somewhere near me. It's my sixth finger to my hand. And, so I open up that app every time I walk. And, I walk the dogs every day. This is something I always did anyway. But what I find is I do it more now, and I go a little further because
I'm
not walking just for the dogs or not just walking for me. I'm walking for cancer. I'm walking for that friend who's suffering from cancer today or Parkinson. So
awesome. I'm going to download that. It clocks anywhere you're going, anywhere you walk. It's not just I'm going to go walk a mile. Okay.
Right.
I love it. Awesome. I'm going to check it out.
They're going to do it so that you can do it on the treadmill because, you know, like AK, who has the Fit Desk, she loves her. Have you seen or heard of the Fit Desk?
No.
So AK sits, we're getting off topic here, sorry. She sits at the Fit Desk and she pedals as she's tweeting and writing.
I need to see a picture of that. Has she posted a picture?
Well, I've got a video. I'll send it to you.
Oh, I love it. Thank you.
So back to one of your other lessons. Lesson 4 in your book is about being awesome.
Oh, being flossome is awesome.
Being flossome is awesome. Explain that to us. Being flossome.
Well, no, I didn't coin that. I heard that probably a couple years ago, and I've been doing my videos for, almost 2 years. I have a lot, maybe a year and a half. I don't even know. But I used to really concern myself with being perfect. Like, I can't do a video. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to edit a video. I don't look good on camera, blah, 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 all that negative mind talk. And so what I realized after looking into studies that were done about review sites, whether it's for reviews for a product or service, when someone goes to review site and there's nothing but perfection, all 4 stars, 5 stars, there's no negative, people don't trust it. So the statement, being flossome is the new awesome, people don't expect that. They don't want you to be perfect. And as a matter of fact, it's more endearing to people when you show them the true you, when it's not that expensive video that you paid a production company to shoot. Now, I'm not saying there's not a time and a place for that. But, for example, those videos I do on my little video newsletter, sometimes I have a baseball cap on.
You do.
You know what I'm saying? I don't worry about, oh, my God, how am I going to look? Because it's not about me. It's about giving some knowledge to people and helping them grow their business.
That's funny, because the first time that I saw one of your videos with the cap on, I saw you, and I'm like, she's wearing a baseball cap. And then I totally didn't even think about it. It's like, it was your message. It was your video. But, Chris, that's what I saw. You know, I saw you first, but then they didn't mean anything. And then I totally forgot about you wearing a baseball cap sometimes until you just mentioned it.
Yeah, and it's because I wasn't even on my early videos. If you go back, I think I have 125 now. If you go back 2 years, I wouldn't even get on there. And then some of my viewers were like, can you at least get on there? And I said, well, you know what? It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about them. It's what I'm doing here. So that's when I started doing that. And then sometimes I'll put my dog Buddy in the video.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that. And it's like, so many people are afraid to jump into social media, to jump into discussions, group discussions, because they're just afraid, and they're afraid of having flaws. And we all have flaws. None of us are perfect. So that's kind of what I mean by being flossome is awesome.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. And yeah, and there's risk you have to take. And with social media, I think we all take a lot of risk when AK and I were doing Vlog Talk Radio for the first time. It's like, oh, you know what? It is what it is. We're going to give it a shot. We're going to try. And you're not perfect, but we're genuine. We're sincere.
I love your show. I mean, when I can stay up late enough to tune in, I like to be there live because I like to chat and stuff. And I've tuned in a couple times.
You have. Yes.
The Tasty Delight was probably one of my favorites. I bought his book. I haven't read it in its entirety. And I was just in New York City, and I saw A Tasty Delight. And I remembered you guys were up there doing some kind of walk in New York City.
We did. That was the Charity Miles walk we did. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. That was like the week before I went up there, I think.
Yeah. Yes. We went, and we couldn't have got better weather the week before the hurricane hit. So we got that. Now, you have A Tasty Delight near you, so what we're going to have to do is schedule a little Tasty Delight treat.
Where's the Tasty? I don't even know.
There's one in Houston. There's two in Houston. So, it's not, it's not real close to you or me, but it's in Houston. So we're going to meet up. I'm going to get you. And now this is what I love to do. I take friends to Tasty for the first time, and there's always a video. And I've got a couple of videos that I've done for friends of friends having their very first tasty, and I actually film it. And I'll say, okay, Tammy Mae, tell me about your taste of delight. Yeah.
See, now that I can assure you will be a very flawed video with you when you shoot me eating chocolate tasty delight.
There you go. Everybody, it'll be fun. Just,
yeah,
and
of
it's
course.
That's sincere. You know, it's like either you like it or you don't. Everybody loves it. So it's a guarantee you're going to have a great time. You'll love it. Now, lesson 7 in your book. You have here, you know, get an accountability coach. I have to tell you, I'm loving what you were calling your coaches earlier.
Oh, the energy arts?
Your
coaches?
Energy. Yeah. That's wonderful. Now, is that the same thing, your energy coach and accountability coach? Can they be the same?
It could be. I mean, that's their business, is they call themselves energy arts. They're energy coaches. But what I mean by get yourself an accountability coach, let's face it, when we tell ourselves that, and we set goals for ourselves, whether it's to lose 10 pounds, whether it's to post on Facebook twice a day, whether it's to read a book once a month, whatever it is, who holds us accountable to ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to get off the hook. And I think if that's true for me, and I'm sure it's true for a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
then what I think really helps us is to get an accountability coach, a friend, a partner, even someone online, that if you tell them, I'm going to send you a video once every 2 weeks and it's going to be this, and you put it out to somebody, they're going to hold you accountable. Hey, where's that video you told me about?
Right.
And we're all much more apt to be our word when we have put it out in the universe with someone else involved. So that's kind of what I'm talking about with get yourself an accountability coach.
Yeah, I agree. And I love having an accountability coach. And I actually like being an accountability coach because I just like pushing a little bit. You know, you know that person that you're working with can be more than what they believe they can be. So it's fun pushing them to that next level.
That's what I did for some time. I was coaching business clients. Well, I still am, but a little bit differently now. And part of it was having a MAAP, M-A-A-P, a Measurable Actionable Accountability Plan.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important because it's so easy to get off the hook when we commit something to ourselves and we don't tell anybody else.
Yeah, I agree. I know I have an accountability coach now, a personal one. It's my sister. We decided we're going to do the Biggest Loser contest between the two of us. And neither one of us wants to lose a whole lot of weight, but just even 5 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
It's like I need someone. So we decided that every Monday morning we text each other a picture of ourselves standing on the scale and our weight. And that's scary.
Great.
That's, you know, it's like, oh. So anyway.
That's perfect.
That's our
well, you know what? I'll just give you I've been buying food from a nutritionist here in Houston since January 1st and staying committed to a healthy diet 5 days a week and then eating Taste of Delight on the weekend.
But you know what? Now, Taste of Delight is very healthy. So
really?
You can have that every day of the week.
Really?
It has some calories, but it has, yes. See, I'm
what's
it
made of? Is it a cream?
It is not yogurt, and it is not ice cream. It is a frozen treat.
Okay. All right, we'll just keep that suspense hanging.
Yeah.
So if you want her name, she makes very nutritional food, and she delivers it to your home, and very, very affordable.
Oh, I'll have to look into that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
How we got off on that, but
oh, I don't know. It's food, accountability, so coaching. I have to check our time. Okay, we're good. So, I have another question for you, and it's just like lost. It's lost out there in cyberspace. I know. In your book, you talk about sales sharks are becoming dinosaurs.
Yeah.
They're
going
Why?
Away of the tar pits. Traditional selling just doesn't work. It just doesn't work, in particular in social media. You cannot sell like we were taught to sell back in the day. And most people under 30, what did someone just tell me today? I learned this, 50% of the population is under 30. They would not even deal with a sales shark type of person, somebody that's just sitting there thinking about their next move, how am I going to close you? That just doesn't work when you beat your own drum and thump your chest on social media. It's not about that. It's providing value in building a community and engaging with your community, and it has nothing to do with selling. Now, that's not to say you can't let people know if you have something you want to offer, whether it's a course or a product or a service, but 80% of the time, you better be adding value and giving to grow in your community and engaging with people. That's what it's all about.
You're going to love the Taste of Delight Way book because it's exactly what Jim Amos and BJ Emerson talk about that engagement with the customers and a lot of what you're saying. It's not all about you and what you do. It's what their needs are and delivering what it is that they're asking for.
Well, I've been getting these silicone bands made that I hand out to people in my workshops and speaking engagements. And on there, of course, is my website, shellyroth.com, but also WIIFT is printed on there. And it's just a reminder to always ask yourself before you post a status update, before you send out an email marketing newsletter, what's in it for them? Mm-hmm. And if the answer is nothing, it's all about me, don't send it.
That's very good.
Yeah, that's why I like the Tasty Delight guy, because I was like, oh, my gosh, I can totally relate to what he's saying.
I'm having to tweet, because I just saw a Facebook message from BJ. He can't get any internet tonight, so he can't listen, but he'll listen later, and he'll find out that we talked about him.
Hi, BJ.
Hey, BJ. Yeah, I can't wait to get you to Tasty, so for your first Tasty Delight.
Yeah.
You close your book in a section called Social Soup, where you go through each of the major social media networks, including Pinterest, which a lot of people still are clueless and Pinterest, and you talk about Google+. These principles and how you apply them to your primary area of expertise, which is social media, can you elaborate a little bit more on that section of your book?
Well, it's after talking about the lessons in my book, whether it's the lesson Give to Grow or Accountability Coach or Believing in Yourself or Getting Out of Your Own Way by Listening to Your Inner Voice, in the Social Soup section, it's kind of how do you apply those when you're on Facebook or LinkedIn or Google+ or Pinterest. And the original book was going to be called Social Soup. and then again, of course, I went off in a new direction, and it ended up that just a section of the book now talks about how each of those networks is different, and each one of them brings, let me see how I describe it. Like, I think I say Google+ for enhanced likability, Pinterest for visual interest, a pinch of this, and Twitter to spice things up, and kind of like just coming from the different natures of the different networks and how to interact on them, how they're all different, and there's certain ways to act and interact with your community on those different networks.
So are you saying that with each of these networks, I don't want to say your personality is different, but there's different etiquette for each one of the social platforms?
Yeah, I really believe that. Like Google+, probably one of the reasons I don't post on Google+ as often as I might like is it's very much more business. It's not as playful as Facebook. Like, for example, one of the most engaging posts that I ever put on Facebook had nothing to do with learning something about Facebook. 80% of the time, as I mentioned, you want to think about how can I engage with my audience so that I'm always top of mind with them when they need social media. Who are they going to think of? And hopefully the answer is Shelley. And so one of the most engaging questions I had was, which do you prefer, pie or cake? That has nothing to do with anything, but on Facebook it's okay to do that. I had more interaction. I had people telling me about recipes from their moms and their grandmoms. But if you posted something like that on Google+, nobody would respond.
It's very
test
it.
Yeah, it's very much a like a button down. It's what, like it's like a LinkedIn, Facebook LinkedIn combo. You know, a little bit of Facebook, but more. It's more button down like LinkedIn.
Yeah, and I know when I go to think about an update, a status update, I'll know just intuitively, oh, that should go to Facebook, this should go to Google Plus, this should go to Twitter. And I can see somebody that's starting out in the social media world, that's a little intimidating and confusing. So then they shut down and they say, I can't post anywhere because I'm not sure what the etiquette is.
Yeah, you're right. And so most of the clients I work with, I'll tell them to pick the one network where you think you're going to be most comfortable and your audience is, your business audience, and focus on that one network. Don't, you know, I say go wide just to stake your claim, because I think it's hugely important to get your, especially with Google Plus in particular, and YouTube, and any of them, because Google owns YouTube and Google Plus, of course, to get your name, not just your personal name, but your business name. And even if you just register it, so to speak, and not do anything, at least you have that that social media real estate. So, yeah, so even myself, I outsource my LinkedIn posts, because 95% of my time is on my Facebook business page. I do something that might not seem very appropriate. I connect my Facebook business page to Twitter, and Twitter is a totally different animal, but I don't, honestly, I don't use Twitter. I'm not proactive on Twitter. So that's why I just hook it up more for the SEO and exposure and stay alive over there.
Right. Do you do the same thing with your LinkedIn posts? Do you, when you do your status updates or your post on LinkedIn, do you have them tweet out?
Not usually, because I have someone that I pay to do that for me, a content management person, marketing person, and it's usually on LinkedIn. It's very, very buttoned up. It's very high. We're sharing valuable content for people that are interested in social media. I'm not engaging on a back and forth like I do on Facebook.
Right, right. And I follow you on all the platforms, and I've noticed that, you know, your Facebook posts go on as tweets. So, and I'm not as active on Google Plus as I should be either.
On LinkedIn, I am active on one group that I really, really like, and it's the only group on LinkedIn I'm active on, and it's made up, it's called Friends of LinkedIn. It's a private group, and the people that run it are employees of LinkedIn. So the reason I'm active on it is because when LinkedIn does something goofy, it gives us a great platform to say, what were you thinking with these endorsements?
I heard you talking about that earlier today. And I get excited when I get an email that says I've been endorsed, but I can see in your conversation earlier today in that other Blog Talk Radio show was, is it a popularity contest or not? So it's one of those, it's, you know, again, LinkedIn changed and they're trying to be whoever it is they're trying to be. I'm curious to how long this is going to go on. And then what happens when that endorsement section is totally full?
Well, I don't know if it ever could be totally full. I mean, I think I'm up to 75 the last time I looked.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
I know, on one skill. And again, that's what I mean. To me, it's very Mickey Mouse. And I want to read somebody's recommendations that took the time to write them, if I'm going to hire you or work with you. Endorsements to me are just way too easy. They're like clicks and way too, I don't know. There's people endorsing me and you and other people for skills we don't even have.
Right. And you're right. It is too easy, because every time you log on to LinkedIn, it's going to pop up. Would you like to endorse these people? And I shut it down. It's like, LinkedIn, don't ask me. I will endorse when I want to. But I can see where, just because you're connected, someone could easily click, sure, and endorse her for all of those.
Right. And I used to endorse back, like when someone follows me on Twitter, of course, the common courtesy is to follow back. And I do that if I like the person or feel good about it. But on LinkedIn, there's I can't do it anymore. I just don't have the time.
Yeah, it's hard. So I want to cover something else about your book that I heard you on another interview, I guess it was earlier this week or last week, talk about. You talk about digital body language, which, you know, was a major theme of your last book, and I don't think a lot of people understand what that is and how marketers should be using or not using it. Can you go over that?
Sure. The first book I wrote, the title was going to be Digital Body Language, because I was just intrigued with how you're interpreted online when you really, sure, you have a picture and you can very easily get something from the picture, but the picture could be 20 years old, the picture could be maybe not of you, so it could be an avatar of yourself. And what really got me on this, started thinking all this, was when I first started training myself on social media back in 2007, I found a guy I was going to hire. And when I looked further and went down a bunch of rabbit holes, I realized that this guy was nothing but a facade of himself. He was a convicted felon. And I was, like, horrified that I almost paid this guy money to train me. And it kind of started me thinking about, well, what's real out there? How do we know what's real? And so I did a lot of research. I did a lot of interviews to find out how people read other people. And the bottom line is little things like, how fast you respond I shouldn't say how fast. Do you respond when somebody asks you a question, or do you wait a day or two or three? That tells somebody something about you. When you don't have a picture on LinkedIn, that immediately is someone's perception is that you aren't thoughtful, that you didn't care enough to put a picture. So there's a lot of things that you need to think about. People's perception is their reality, and how you are out there, like whether you're talking politics or religion or your favorite sports team. I learned the hard way, and I tell AK this all the time, when I posted that the Texans were in the playoffs last year, I had more people unlike my page that day than ever. And so I learned a good hard lesson. Politics, religion, and now sports is out. It don't include any of that. You want to stay neutral. It's business.
Right, right.
So did that kind of give you
excuse me? It does, and we do have to be very thoughtful of how we're portraying ourselves and what we're sharing. I actually talked to somebody on Facebook earlier today through messaging, saying, you know, you're getting a little strong here with some of your messages. Excuse me, a moment. I knew that would catch up to me.
You want me to talk? Catch your breath?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, you really have to be conscious and not only just staying neutral with not bringing up religion and politics, but just people are going to look to see if you hide stuff or what happened to that post. And, I mean, there's so many little things that you think people, you know, there's a lot of lurkers out there, and I don't mean that in a negative sense. There's a lot of people watching what you're doing. They might not be responding and contributing, liking and following and sharing, but they're watching. There's a lot of eyeballs.
They certainly are. Well, before we go, would you please share all your links and how we can order your book? And then I think you have an offer you'd like to give everybody.
Yeah. If you want to buy my book before midnight today, you can go. Let me give you the best link to go to, the easiest one. Of course, you can go to Amazon and search for Shedding Your Sales Shark, or go to bit.ly/SalesSharkAmazon, Sales Shark Amazon. And if you buy the book, here's what you're going to get. You will email me your receipt from Amazon, and you will be given a seat in our new webinar coming up December 3rd on Fuel Your Social Media with Powerful Content. I have an expert content marketer coming in. We're going to have an hour webinar. The value on that is $35, but if you buy my book today and email me your receipt, you will get that at no charge. It will be recorded, so you can watch it whenever you want. Also, I will send you a signed book plate. I'll sign a little sticker that you can put in your book from me. And thirdly, you'll be entered in a drawing for a video critique of your Facebook page, business page, or LinkedIn personal profile. That's $125 value. We're going to do three separate drawings. Anyone that buys the book today will pick out three people to get the video critique. And you can email your receipt to sroth, S-R-O-T-H, at shellyroth.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-R-O-T-H.com.
Wow, that is great. Thank you, Shelly, so much for that great offer. And you're going to be number two by tomorrow.
I hope so. That'd be cool. I'm pretty happy where I am.
You should be. You should be very proud. That's very good. And I'm waiting for number three to come out now, and we'll have you back again.
I don't know if I'm going to. I think I'm just going to write it, and this one might not get published. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Yeah, I can't imagine you not publishing. Well, you can hang here with me. I'll probably cough
my way
through this. Okay, so I'm going to try to do AK justice and share some Geek It Out. Let's see if I can actually play the commercial I wanted to play earlier. So hold on.
Are you looking to take your social technology strategies to the next level? Then do we have a show for you. Social Geek Radio co-hosts AK Stout and Deb Evans chat weekly with innovative technology folks who share their experiences, tips, and tricks to help you take your business to the next level. Social Geek Radio is brought to you by Saying It Social and Deb Evans Consulting, LLC. To learn more about their unique services, including but not limited to speaking, consulting, and training, visit AK Stout and Deb Evans Consulting.com.
Okay, so the first Geek It Out that AK wanted me to share, and I know she started using this herself, is called meetme.so. It's meetme.so. And what AK found that she needed to do was a scheduling, a calendar that helps her schedule her calls and appointments. And it was kind of funny that she used this on me the other day. I said, oh, we need to have a call. And she said, oh, go to meetme.so and schedule your time with me. It's like, really? So I had to schedule my call with AK. But it looks like a pretty good scheduling. It worked. I put in the time that I wanted to have a talk with her, and I got a response and a confirmation and popped into my calendar. So do you use anything like that, Shelly, to schedule your calls and appointments?
No, I don't. No. But it sounds like a really cool idea.
Yeah, I think it might work. Okay, so let's go to the next one. She has one here for me called given.to, G-I-V-E-N.to. It's a stress-free, guest-free gifting. So what it looks like is that you can make affordable contributions towards hand-picked gifts for your friends and family members in amounts as small as a dollar. And what I'm seeing here is, I haven't tried it yet, is that you can get together with a group of friends or family members and contribute to the gift without paying for the whole thing yourself. So this time of year, and we're gift giving, I want to look at this. And it says that you can use PayPal as well. I don't know how she finds some of these sites.
I don't know. That is so cool. She always has cool Geek It Out stuff.
She does. So let's see. I have another minute here. Oh, I like this one. This one I did test a little bit earlier today. www.engag.io. And I know I've got some folks in the chat, and I should be copying these and putting them in the chat. This one, it looks like what you do, okay, I got that one in the chat. You, it's the online conversations in one place. So it says that, you know, 30 million people are making comments and discussions, and you can search for anything. So what I did is I actually put in the words Powerball because, you know, we're all wanting to win. Mm-hmm. And when I searched this earlier today, AK's tweet came up on winning the Fit Desk, and I don't know if it's still in here because it's still there. AK actually tweets for the Fit Desk company, and it says that If yes, I will buy one for everyone I know. If she wins the power, if she wins the Powerball, she will buy everybody a Fit Dev. So it's like, I know you, AK. So if you win tonight, I want a Fit Desk.
I want one too. I'm going to the Fit Desk right now.
The Fit Desk really looks cool, and I don't know if you.
.net. I'm going to go check it out.
Yeah, it is a very cool. So, and I've been watching on Facebook today. You know, people posting their pictures of their Powerball, and if you retweet this, you know, I will give you some money and blah blah blah. But I like what she was doing. So that that conversation, this conversation website, just looks like another great way of searching conversations and see, you know, what's being said tonight out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I have one more before we go. This one I'm not quite sure about. This is gigwalk.com, gigwalk.com. And it's her app that she wanted to share with us tonight. And honestly, I'm not quite sure how this works. It says it's instantly mobilizes people, connects people with businesses to get work done anywhere. And I'm not going to hit the video or it'll be blasting in our ears, but I'm going to have to test this one out and see what it does here. Not quite sure. I guess it looks at products. It's AK's app. We'll check it out until next week. So, with these, do you have any geek it outs you'd like to share with me, Shelley?
You know, I do not. I need to get my head out of the social media. I'm so engrossed in that I don't even go play and go look at new cool stuff like that.
Well, let me ask you this, though. Did you use anything for your book writing, like any kind of special sites or apps or anything when you were writing?
No, but I'll tell you, my first book was supposed to have a custom app to go with it called the Realometer. And the Realometer, we spent about 6 months on this. It was going to be able to scan your blogs and Facebook status updates. And it was for fun, but it was going to tell you how real you were being out there based on a whole list of words that we came up with. Unfortunately, the guy that was developing it for me did not come through, so it never materialized, the Realometer. So it was going to be kind of a cool app because it was going to be like a little needle going off, kind of like, or, you know, the magic eight ball.
Well, now we have a listener, Dana Lopez, is listening, and he's a geek. So, Dana, why don't you see if you can develop this Realometer for Shelley so when she has book number three, we can test it out. Wouldn't that be cool?
See, yeah.
Word out there. We need a what, but we can call it something different. We'll have to give it your own name.
Heartometer. We're going to have the Heartometer.
He says he's on it. He's in the chat room. He says he's on it. So I'll connect you guys. Well, Shelley, thank you so much for being my guest tonight. And I know AK missed you, but she'll be listening later. And we are going to set a date to go have some tasty. And so my treat for you being our guest.
Well, thank you so much for having me. You guys are awesome. You do a great job on Social Geek Radio.
Thank you very much. And Sarah and Dana and everybody in the chat, thanks so much for joining us. And we will see you or hear you next week. Good night.
Are you looking to take your social technology strategies to the next level? Then do we have a show for you. Social Geek Radio co-hosts AK Stout and Deb Evans chat weekly with innovative technology folks who share their experiences, tips, and tricks to help you take your business to the next level. Social Geek Radio is brought to you by Saying It Social and Deb Evans Consulting, LLC. To learn more about their unique services, including but not limited to speaking, consulting, and training, visit AK Stout and DebEvansConsulting.com.